Well, hello again. I'm going to continue with the message that God the Father gave to Sister Eugenia. When we started with the message, the Father was talking to Sister Eugenia about how he is related to people and the things he's done with mankind since the beginning, since he created man. And so he picks up here about the things he's done to try to bring men into closer relationship with him. Since the world has often been purified of its corruption because of my infinite goodness toward humanity, I continue to choose certain souls in whom I was pleased because through them I could be happy with my creatures, men. I promised the world a Messiah. I did all I could to prepare his coming, showing myself in the figures that represented him, even thousands of years before his coming. For who is the Messiah? Whence does he come? What will he do on earth? Whom does he represent? The Messiah is God. Who is God? God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whence does he come? Or rather, who ordered him to come among men? It was I, his Father, God. Whom is he to represent on earth? His Father, God. What is he to do on earth? He will make the Father, God, known and loved. Did he not say, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I have come only to do the will of my Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You will pray to him like this, Our Father, who art in heaven," etc. And elsewhere, since he came to glorify the Father and to make him known to men, he says, "Whoever sees me sees the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Whoever is with me is also with my Father," etc. Realize then, O man, that for all eternity I have had but one desire, to make myself known to men and be loved by them. I wish to stay forever with them. Do you want an authentic proof of this desire that I have just expressed? Why did I command Moses to build a tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, if not to come and dwell as a father, a brother, a close friend with my creatures, men? This was my ardent desire. In spite of this, they have forgotten me and offended me with countless sins. I give Moses my commandments to remind them, in spite of everything, of God, their Father, and of his sole wish to save them. They were supposed to observe the commandments and thereby remember their infinitely good Father, always intent upon their present and eternal salvation. All this was forgotten, and men sank into error and fear, considering that the observance of the commandments as I had transmitted them to Moses was too taxing. They made up other laws in accordance with their whims in order to observe them more easily. Little by little, in the exaggerated fear they had of me, they forgot me more and more and heaped outrages upon me. Yet my love for these men, my children, never quite ceased. When I realized that neither the patriarchs nor the prophets had been able to make me known and loved by men, I decided to come myself. But how could I come among them? There was no other way than to come myself in the second person of my divinity. Would men know me? Would they listen to me? Nothing in the future was hidden from me. I myself answered these two questions. They will ignore my presence, even though they will be near me. In my Son, they will treat me cruelly, notwithstanding all the good he will do for them. In my Son, they will speak ill of me. They will crucify me to bring about my death. Shall I stop because of this? No. My love for my children men is too great. I did not stop there. Understand well that I loved you, as it were, more than my beloved son, or rather more than myself. What I am telling you is so true that if one of my creatures had been enough to atone for the sins of other men through a life and death similar to those of my son, I would have hesitated. Why? Because I would have betrayed my love by making a beloved creature suffer rather than suffering myself in my son. I would never have wished my children to suffer. This, then, in brief, is the story of my love until my coming among men through my son. Most men know of all these events, but they fail to grasp the essential thing, that love was the guiding principle in it all. Yes, it is love. This is what I want to impress upon you. Now, this love has been forgotten. I want to remind you of it so that you can learn to know me as I am, so that you will not be, like slaves, afraid of a father who loves you so much. You see, in this story, we are only at the first day of the first century, and I would like to bring it up to the present time, the 20th century. Oh, how my paternal love has been forgotten by men. Yet I love you so tenderly. In my son, that is to say, in the person of my son made man, what have I not done? Divinity is veiled in this humanity. It is shrunk, impoverished, humiliated. With my son Jesus, I led a life of sacrifice and work. I received his prayers that man might have a clearly indicated path along which to walk, always in justice, so as to reach me safely. Of course, I can understand my children's weakness. Because of this, I ask my son to give them the means to get up again after they have fallen. These means will help them to purify themselves from their sins, so that they may still be the children of my love. They are chiefly the seven sacraments. And the greatest means of securing your salvation, despite your falls, is the cross, my son's blood poured out upon you every moment, if you so wish, both in the sacrament of penance and in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. My dear children, I have lavished these gifts upon you with special graces for 20 centuries, but with what miserable results. How many of my creatures who become children of my love through my son have quickly thrown themselves into the eternal abyss? Truly, they have not known my infinite goodness. I love you so very much. You, at least, who know that I myself am coming to talk to you to make you aware of my love for your own sake, do not throw yourselves over the precipice. I am your father. Is it possible that having called me your father and having shown your love for me, you could find in me such a hard and insensitive heart as to let you perish? No, no, do not believe that. I am the best of fathers. I know my creatures' weaknesses. Come to me. Come with confidence and love. I will forgive you after you have repented. Even if your sins were as repulsive as mud, your confidence and your love will make me forget them, so you will not be judged. I am just, it is true, but love pays for everything. Listen, my children, let us make a comparison, and you will be assured of my love. For me, your sins are like iron, and your acts of love like gold. If you gave me 1,000 pounds of iron, it would not be like giving me just 10 pounds of gold. In other words, with just a little love, great iniquities can be expiated. This, then, is one very light-hearted way of looking at my judgment of my children, men, all of them, without exception. You must come to me. I am so close to you. You must love me and honor me so that you will not be judged, or rather that you will be judged with infinite merciful love. Have no doubt, if my heart were not like this, I would have already destroyed the world every time it committed sin. But as you have seen, at every moment, my protection manifests itself through graces and benefits. You can conclude from this that there is a Father who is above all fathers, who loves you and will never cease to love you if you so desire. I come among you in two ways, the cross and the Eucharist. The cross is my way of coming down among my children, since it is through it that I caused my Son to redeem you. And for you, the cross is the way to ascend to my Son, and from my Son to me. Without it, you could never come to me, because man, by sinning, brought on himself the punishment of separation from God. In the Eucharist, I live among you as a father with his family. I wished my Son to institute the Eucharist so as to make every tabernacle the vessel of my favors, my riches, and my love, to give them to men, my children. It is always by these two means that I cause both my power and my infinite mercy to come down ceaselessly. Now that I have shown you that my Son Jesus represents me among men, and that through him I live constantly among them, I also want to show you that I come among you through my Holy Spirit. The work of this third person of my divinity is carried out silently, and often man is not aware of it. But for me, it is a very fitting way of living, not just in the tabernacle, but also in the souls of all those in a state of grace, to establish my throne in them and to live there always, like the true Father who loves, protects, and helps his children. No one has yet understood the infinite desire of my divine paternal heart to be known, loved, and honored by all men, the just and the sinful. These are the three gifts that I wish to receive in homage from man, so that I may always be merciful and good, even toward the most hardened sinners. So as I listen to this, as I read this message from our Heavenly Father, it strikes me that the only thing he asks of us is to be known, loved, and honored by all men, both the just and the sinful. He wants all of us. He wants all of us to know, love, and honor our Heavenly Father. Is that really too much to ask? It seems so little compared to what he's willing to give us and does give us every day. But to know, love, and honor him, we get to know him by reading the scriptures, reading everything the saints have told us about salvation history. You read the diary of Saint Faustina, and you see his love being communicated through Jesus to her and from her to us in her diary. In the Baltimore Catechism, it's the first thing you see is, why did God make you? God made us to know him, love him, and serve him in this world and be happy with him forever in heaven. It's the first question. So this is something we've known, but the question for each of us is, do we practice it? How do we show that we know and love and honor our Heavenly Father? So I'm going to stop here and then pick up with the rest of the message the next time.